I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Welcome back, everyone, to Midlife Mavericks. I'm Allison Jacobson. I am a coach, speaker, author, and a podcast host for women in midlife who are looking to reclaim their dreams, live their life on their terms after taking on the role of mom, caregiver, everyone else. And if you like this podcast, please subscribe, please leave a review, because that will help other women in midlife find us. So as you know, I love having people on who have just incredible stories about living their best life in the second chapter, and also people who can inspire us, give us advice about how to live a kick-ass life. And my next guest today is Bernadette Catalana. She is an author. She wrote a really amazing book, Daughter Lessons. And, you know, having this after Mother's Day, we're recording this on the day after Mother's Day. So it is absolutely perfect. And welcome, Bernadette.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really excited to meet you and hear more about your work as well.
Yeah. Well, this is all about you. And, you know, it's so funny because you have so many different layers and levels of who you are. You're an attorney, you practice yoga, you're an author, and some of these seem to go together naturally and others don't necessarily.
No, you're right. When people learn that I do yoga and I'm also an attorney, that doesn't seem to really mesh, but actually it's a great fit for me because it helps me keep my sanity in this crazy practice of law, which it can be if you let it be. But I think just about any profession has its attendant pressures and anxiety producing triggers that we have to learn to deal with as women and as humans, right? Yeah.
So tell us about your book. What prompted, I mean, as you know, I have my own book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, but tell us what prompted you to write a book?
Well, I will say this particular writing was prompted by my contemplating my own mortality, which sounds really depressing, but it actually isn't. I was thinking about, my children at that point were getting ready to leave the nest, growing up and growing out into the world, which is what we want. That's our job. That's job one as mothers, but that's also frightening because we know we're going to lose that daily contact. And then I thought about it some more and thought, oh, wow, the day is going to come when I'm not going to be here. Now, I hope that's a long, long way away. But, you know, as mothers, we are also children. And I thought of my own relationship with my own parents and how I did not necessarily feel like I knew who they were as people. And I wanted my children to know who I was as a person. So I literally sat down one day on October 1st and furiously wrote a lesson every single day for that entire month. And it kind of formed this categories, leading, learning, and loving. And each of the lessons fell kind of naturally there. And then as time goes on, I continue to write and continue to add lessons to each of those buckets. And then there was a point where I had critical mass and I thought, you know, these go beyond just me and my daughters. I think there's a lot of things that maybe I was able to give voice to that will resonate with other moms and other daughters as well, because I wrote it from the perspective of a mother, but I'm also one of seven children, six of them daughters. So my experience as a daughter is also very strong throughout the book.
Right. And so did your daughters know you were doing this, or did you just surprise them one day?
No, they knew I was doing it. And along the way, I would have them read, certain things, and just, you know, we are definitely entwined in each other's lives. It would be very hard for me to do something that they weren't at least aware of. I will say that the book has been a wonderful experience. The support that I've gotten from my professional community and beyond has been really, as I'm sure you experienced with your own book, people are so wonderful and kind and supportive, and I love the feedback. But I will say, every time I talk about it, I say the only two people that need to read this book in my eyes are the two that are on the cover with me. And that's really mission accomplished there. But the fact that the book is resonating and getting traction beyond our little threesome is a lovely thing as well.
They must be incredibly proud of you.
You know, I think they are, just as, you know, we're so proud of our children. I think they are proud of me. I know my children have gotten to know me in a very unique way through this book. And I think that has probably helped them, because they had a little better picture of what my growing up experience was. And it was a lot different than theirs.
So tell me about that, because seven kids, single mom, absent dad, that's not easy.
No, it wasn't easy. And what goes along with that many times is lack of financial resources. So my mom was not only heartbroken at the breakup of her marriage, but also was overwhelmed. She had never, well, she had worked part-time places, but I mean, she actually had to go back to work full-time, which was very difficult. Imagine having seven kids to take care of and having to go out and find a full-time job. She didn't have a car. She didn't know how to drive. She didn't have her driver's license. So just that was really overwhelming. Just the logistics of it was very difficult. And I have a lot of mentees in my role as an attorney. I work with lawyers all over the country. And one of my mentees, Stephanie, called me and said, I'm reading the book and I'm just imagining little baby Bernadette carrying the groceries home with her mom. And that makes me laugh. And I said, well, but don't be sad, because that made me strong. So, it was not an easy existence. And more than anything, it for me, it's been heartbreaking. I guess reconciling myself to the fact that my mother's motherhood was not as joyful as mine has been. I mean, I truly have had an incredible experience raising my children, who are now adults. And although my mom, I'm sure, had moments of joy and pleasure, overall, her experience was much different and much more fraught with burdens and drudgery. And that as a child is very heartbreaking, because we want our parents to be happy, just like our parents want us to be happy. There is that two-way street, I believe. Right.
And like you said, you know, very different upbringing for your daughters versus how you were. How do you think your childhood experiences influenced your parenting?
Oh, I think greatly. They're inextricably entwined, right? We come to this role of parent, and we come to it based on what we were, what our role was as a child. I mean, I was the sixth child. And I have been thinking about it a little bit. How is it that I embrace this role of motherhood so much? And I think a big part of it It was the first time in my life I ever felt like I mattered. I felt important. I felt like, wow, something that I say really means something, because I have these two little girls who are looking at me and I am their world. I had never experienced that before in that gaggle of geese. And again, there are lots of amazing gifts from being part of a big family, but there's not a lot of attention, really, not one-on-one, especially when you're number six. And with only one parent, eventually, there was even less attention to go.
I mean, it's funny because I'm an only child. So it's just the opposite. And I have, my first son died of SIDS, but I have three others. And so I went into having three kids saying, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to have multiple kids and share it, but you figure it out. You learn along the way.
Do you think that maybe you used some of your experience as an only to change the narrative? Given that you had three kids, it probably informed what you did.
It completely did. It's interesting because my mom lives with us now, and it's wonderful to see that dynamic that she has, having only had an only child, to see what it's like having three. So it's nice. It brings a different perspective to it, without a doubt. And, you know, like you said, I mean, you grew up in Rochester, you're now in Manhattan. Big difference. You're an attorney. Really big difference, right?
Yes. And I went to law school after I had my girls, actually, which is another, I know. Wow. What are you doing? I mean, I had Carly, I had Courtney a year later, and in between having Carly, I took the LSAT and got into law school. And in fact, the day I came home from the hospital having Courtney, 14 months after having Carly, I had my acceptance to law school. So having the girls really inspired me. I thought, wow, I want to do something with my life. I don't want to just mail it in. I really want to do something that my girls are proud of me. And I also, just the financial aspects of it, wow, this is going to be expensive. I really need to have a job where I can financially support them as well. So, you know, you asked at the beginning, are my kids proud of me? I think that was certainly a big deal. And they remember my graduation from law school, four and five. And yes, it was absolutely, that was a great day. And I remember being very proud of myself at that time.
Yeah, I think it's so much, there's so much more opportunity for women our age than our moms to be that strong female role model that just goes for it. Because there's so many more opportunities for us to do that. And for our daughters to see, it's not easy, it's hard work, but you can do it. You can do it. And you can do it in a way that honors who you want to be.
I agree with you. In fact, I want to compliment you. I love your title, your midlife Mavericks. I think I'm saying that right. That whole idea, I want to say to anybody who's under 40, who happens to be listening to this, understand and know that you haven't even hit the ground running yet. I think tackling the mom aspect of life and succeeding at it and raising successful children only makes you stronger, more confident. I know that in my 50s, I'm so much more confident than I was in my 30s. I really am afraid of very few things. I care very little of anyone else's opinion but my own, perhaps my children, my significant other. But I really have hit a stride that I couldn't even dream of when I was younger. I just didn't have the life experience. So I applaud you for calling that out, that, you know, it's not that life is half over. Life has really just begun.
I completely agree. I'll never forget when I started out, I was in a women's business networking group in my town with entrepreneurs. And there were some of us who had, you know, little kids up to elementary school. And then there were those others who had kids in high school and college. And I remember we were just exhausted. We were just like, I can't do it all. And every one of those women was so wise to say, don't beat yourself up. This isn't your season yet. This isn't your time. It will come. And I feel the same way as you. I mean, in my town, the seniors in high school don't go to school the last month of the semester. They get internships. So my daughter's last day of school was Friday, and she's launched. And it's just one more of, I can do so much more. And it is. It's that power, that freedom that comes with it. But, you know, the other thing I talk about too is how many limiting beliefs and how many self-doubts women have. And I think when we're put in a position like you were, where you got to do it, you got to do it. You don't have a choice. I have so many people come up to me and say, how do you do everything that you do? And the answer is, I just do. You just do it.
Absolutely. I agree with you. 1,000% on everything you just said. We limit ourselves. The beliefs that we have that tell us we can't do it, we are telling ourselves that. We need to start telling ourselves, yes, we can do it. And we do have the energy. When you're younger, your children are younger, I agree that can be really exhausting. And I tell people, you can have it all. You may not be able to have it all at the same time. And that's okay. That's okay. You have to pick your priorities at the time and really concentrate on those high level things. And then, as you said, when your children are launched, you get this amazing bonus of time. I mean, I never traveled. I was a lawyer. Never traveled until my children were out of high school. That was important for me to be home with them every night. Well, following that, I started traveling a lot and my career really expanded well beyond where it is now. And that has been such an amazing blessing of, you know, midlife. I've also been writing. There are so many opportunities now with social media being what it is, to post and put things up on LinkedIn. And I remember saying, you know what, I have the time to do this now. And maybe my first post, 40 people looked at it. And I thought, okay, well, last year when the Dobbs decision came down, mm-hmm. I wrote a piece on it and I had close to 20,000 people looking at what I wrote. And it's because I got the base out there and I just started posting and using that opportunity and that platform to find my voice. It's exciting. It's really exciting for anybody who's coming to this time of life now.
And I think you tapped into something very interesting just now. So I did a post on Instagram a month ago. It would have been my son's 25th birthday. And I was just walking and talking about, I wonder what he'd look like now. And I wonder what he'd be doing. That not only got something like 16,000 views, but all of a sudden this month, it got picked up again and it's up to 22,000 views. And I think it's because when we are authentic with our message, when we talk about what's close to our heart, I mean, yes, you were speaking about Dobbs' decision, I'm sure, professionally, but I'm sure there was your voice in there. And when we're authentic, people react.
I could not agree with you more on that. And it's that authenticity. And I think one of the challenges to that is that many of us don't know what our authentic voice is. Because in order to have an authentic voice, you need to ask yourself, gosh, what do I think about that? Not what is someone telling me to think about that? Because there is that peril, right? We are so immersed in social media and there's so many pressures out there. You know, sometimes going on Instagram, I I feel overwhelmed, you know, looking at all and certainly all the ads and everyone's trying to sell you something, and it can be a lot. One thing that I have done for myself is I keep a daily journal, and I've kept a daily journal since 2005. And that is the number one thing that I tell virtually any young woman that I'm mentoring or just younger friend: get yourself a journal, check in with yourself every day, and find out what is it that you think about things, not your husband, not your friends, not your sisters, not your colleagues. What do you think about a particular issue? And then as you kind of peel back all of the layers of that, you know, why do I think this way? What about my experience has brought me to this conclusion? It's really interesting. I think knowing ourselves is one of the important tasks that we often put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And it isn't until we have our children in a certain place that we can actually do that. And for me, my personal journey of that was one, doing journaling for sure. Also, yoga was a really important instrument for me to get to know myself. I had some of the biggest inspirations ever on my mat. Thought will come into my head and I'll have to go home and immediately sit down and start writing because, you know, the juices are flowing. But it doesn't have to be that formula for everybody. But I encourage everyone listening to find that thing or things that they can use as a way to tap into themselves and find out who it is they really are authentically.
Yeah. Let's shift for a second. First of all, I'm going to ask you a question, and you may not know the answer to this, but what do you feel were the most important lessons? Did your daughters tell you what the lessons were in the book that they were like, Mom, this was it. This is the aha moment for me.
Oh, wow. They have not identified any in particular that I can think of. I mean, I feel like they love reading about themselves and my experience having them, certainly, you know, Motherhood Part One, Motherhood Part Two, Motherhood the Reality Show. I think I'm remembering those titles pretty correctly. I know for me, I actually did post this the other day on LinkedIn, and I think it certainly piqued some interest in people. I wrote about my father's significant other, and I consider her my stepmother. They were never married, but they were together for the last 10 years of my father's mm-hmm. life. And I think that in our society, we have had a tendency to undervalue stepmothers and the role that they play. And I mean, Noreen has been such a beautiful addition to my life. And the biggest gift that she's given me is she's allowed me a glimpse of who my father was as a person, not just the father who left me, which is, unfortunately, that's one of the narratives that followed me through my life, certainly my younger life, and then, you know, even into adulthood, because that's the narrative that was being told in my home. And I understand that my mother's sorrow certainly perpetuated that. And also all of her friends and family that were supporting her, that was the narrative. And I understand that. Noreen has really given me a gift of knowing my father outside of that narrative. And I think it's important, you know, we have many times, I work with a lot of younger people, and I will hear them say, oh, I'm that way, or I have trouble with that because my mom does this, or my dad did that. And, you know, I will eventually, when I get into a comfortable place with them and I feel like they're willing to hear me, I'll say, you know, I understand what you're saying. And yes, sometimes our parents aren't perfect and they do things that hurt us or get us on the wrong path. But you have to acknowledge that your parents also had parents. Your parents were also people, and whatever the path they chose that might not have served you so well, they didn't do it on purpose to hurt you. Your parents very likely loved you to death and loved you so much and were doing the best they could with what they had at that time. So I think it's important for all of us to get into that that place where we can actually see our parents as people, as human beings, and perhaps forgive. And forgiveness is such a gift that we give ourselves. Our parents don't need us to, right?
No, and one of the things that I work a lot with my clients on is allowing emotions to go. Because the reality is, when you feel the hurt, when you feel the sadness, when you feel the abandonment, it's not the other person that's suffering, it's you inside. And yeah, there's sometimes things that are not easy to forgive, but you got to let go of that energy. And the fact that you were able to find and see this new side of your father is great.
It is. And Noreen is, she's just very sweet. And even now, so my father's been dead for 14 years. And even now, every time I talk to her, she will tell me something new or something different that I didn't know about my dad. And that I think is that's just been a gift that keeps on giving. And that's why I think that chapter is a particularly important one. I think forgiving our fathers is another chapter that I think probably was very important for me to write and experience, because again, it's all about forgiveness. And I think overall, you know, bitterness, it's very easy to find ourselves or paint ourselves into that role of victim, but it's not all that empowering. once we decide, boy, you know, I don't want to be the victim in my story. Right. I want to be the hero in my story. How can I do that? And I think once I realized that, I noticed even my writing began to change a little bit, and I felt more empowered in the stories. So instead of being, oh, sad, sad little baby Bernadette carrying the groceries, it's, wow, that was a moment in my life that was hard, but it helped me realize how powerful I could be, and that we could survive a lot of things. And I actually will share with everybody, which is a wonderful thing. My mother eventually got her driver's license. Mm-hmm. And I should probably write about that, because my little sister and I would be on the porch. She hired somebody to teach her, and we would be on our porch on South Street in Endicott, New York. And we would watch my mother driving the car up and down the street. And we were scared to death, but eventually she got her driver's license, and it gave her a whole new lease on life. And it was a small victory for most people, but for her at 46 years old, the first, you know, without a husband, never having learned to drive, to get her driver's license, that was a really amazing thing to witness, and was probably something that inspired me maybe for a victory in my life.
I'm sure. I mean, just that sense of, as you were saying it, I could feel her sense of power coming to her that she was stepping into. It's incredible. So do you have another book in you?
Oh, I have a couple started already. You know, what would we say? They will probably be published as novels, but they're completely based on my life, and a lot of fun too. Nothing really serious, but I definitely have two projects in the works. I just need to figure out when I can have some time, and just taking the discipline to set down a writing schedule, which is probably something I should talk to you offline about, because that is hard. It's finding time to write. Once I sit down to write, it's such a joy. I put a post up yesterday in honor of my mom for Mother's Day. And I was just thinking all weekend, it was hanging over my head. Okay, when am I going to find time to do this? I've got to do it. I want to do it on Mother's Day. I want it to be spontaneous, because to me, that's the best writing. And once I made myself sit down at the computer, I literally had it done in 15 minutes. And so it's not the writing. The writing is joyful for me. It's finding the schedule and when I can do it.
Yeah. So you may have read, I ran the New York City Marathon last year. I'd never run more than a mile in my entire life. And I do keynote speaking. And that's one of the things I talk about, the life lessons I learned running the New York City Marathon. And one in particular is that consistency, just staying with it. There were so many times where I said, I don't want to run today. And you just got to do it. And when, you know, you setting those small goals for yourself is so important. So I wish you all the luck with that. I'm so glad we met, and it's nice that I live in Wilton, Connecticut. So we're so close by.
Yes.
What is one thing? So first of all, people can find you on daughterlessons.com and can buy your book on Amazon, Daughter Lessons. And I would highly recommend it. It's easy reading and it's beautiful reading, and it will touch every woman that I can imagine, a daughter or a mom. And what is one last thing you would like to leave women in midlife with, advice?
It's never too late. It is never too late to dream a new dream or plan a new plan. And I think I'm quoting C.S. Lewis on that, but if you're going to quote someone, he's a good one to quote. And I think that for myself, how many times do we count ourselves out before we even get to the starting line by saying, oh, I'm too old, I'm too tired, I'm too this. No, you're not. You can do it, and you'll be so satisfied. Just like you, and I did follow you on Instagram specifically when you were getting for the marathon, and I knew you would do it, Allison. I had no doubt.
It was an accomplishment, and it was very special to me. Well, thank you so much for this time. And everyone, tune in again for another Midlife Mavericks. See y'all soon. Bye now.